in the previous weeks, by the way, you can take your Bibles and go to John chapter 14. But in previous weeks, I've taught a number of things about our Lord. I've taught about what he accomplished, what the scriptures teach concerning what some of his titles are. I think the last one I did was on the apostle and the high priest. And there are many more, and we'll do a bunch more. But we've covered, like, one of the teachings I did is, who is Jesus? And Jesus, the one who defeated the adversary. And these are up on the website. And the apostle and high priest. The teaching of our Lord, the teaching that our Lord did on the Last Supper, all right? We call it the Last Supper. It was a major teaching. I mean, he did, there's so much in there, it's pretty incredible. But the thing that I wanted to share with you today is concerning what he said at that teaching concerning using his name, all right? And how his men were to pray. Remember that the main point of the teaching that he did on that Last Supper was to prepare his men for how they were going to live without him being present with them. That was the point. He teaches them how they are to live their life and how they are to serve. Remember, he washed their feet and he said, "This I do as an example to you, that you wash one another's feet." So their service, they were to serve as he served, they were to love as he loved, and they were to obey the Father the way he obeyed the Father. And in this teaching on the power of attorney that we have in his name, and by the way, it's a very legal thing that we've been given, is in John chapter 14, verse 12. We'll start reading. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." That is amazing. Our Lord and Savior says, whatever you ask, the works that he did, you can do. And even greater works than these shall you do. I know everybody jumps through hoops trying to figure out what the greater works might be. You know what? You're never going to know. You're never going to know. What you're going to know is that whatever God says to you, just like whatever God said to him, that he wants you to bring to pass, you will. That's it. It's the Almighty that does the work. You just believe and choose to do it. But in verse 15, it says, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you until the end of the age." Forever is till the end of the age. "Whatsoever you ask," verse 13 says. Now, I believe, and I'm going to share with you today, when you use this name, when you do it the way he did it, there's nothing that God Almighty would prevent, would not answer our Lord and Savior. If Jesus asked the Father for something, guess what? The Father would do it, right? He said that even just before he's taken away from them at the end of this event. And he says, "Hey, Peter, if I asked the Father for 12 legions of angels, he'd give it to me." Nobody took his life from him. He gave it up for us all. So in using his name in prayer, it says, "Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, go to chapter 15, in verse 16. He says this, by the way, three times. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And I have ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. Whatsoever you ask. You ask anything, he's going to give it to you. I got one more here for you in this record of this teaching of the Last Supper. In chapter 16, in verse 22, it says, "And you now, therefore, have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your hearts shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. In that day you shall ask me nothing." Now, what day is he talking about? When you see me again, after the resurrection, all right? We know that. They don't know what he's talking about right now, because they really couldn't understand this whole thing. This was all like a proverb to them, a dark saying. They couldn't understand. You and I, looking back, can understand what he's talking about. It says, "In that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you." Hitherto, until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. And these things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. But the time cometh when I shall not speak unto you in Proverbs, but shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day you shall ask in my name. And I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because he hath loved me and hath believed that I came out from God. This gives you a really beautiful key. When you pray, when you ask, when you do something in the Lord's name, first of all, you got to get real serious about using the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is Jesus the Messiah. All right? Yeshua, a Messiah, okay? He is the Messiah. There's a lot of Joshuas out there. This is the one. When they identified him, they identified him as Jesus of Nazareth. They identified exactly who they were talking about at different places in the Bible. It wasn't just in the New Testament, especially. It was Jesus the Lord. Our Lord. It was the Messiah, the Lord, the Son of Man. I mean, the point is, it was identified who they were talking about. But he says, whatsoever you ask. Now, the caveat is, if you serve like he served, if you carry out the ministry, you serve like he served, you love like he loved, you obey the Father the way he obeyed the Father. I'm telling you right now, just like the Father has never denied me what I wanted, Jesus talking to them, he'll never deny you what you need. Whatever it is you need, whatever needs to be done, he will do. The key is walking like our Lord, doing his will. You know, you have the right. Our Lord said, you can use my name. It's sort of like he's already signed the check and all you have to do is fill it in. you know, I printed it up. I didn't bring it downstairs with me this morning, but I did print up a power of attorney off of the internet, you know, a document. And there's a warning thing on it. This is like extremely important. Make sure you know what you're doing, because you're telling the world that this individual can do business anything they want in my name. Go to the bank, take out the money, sell the house. Do you give them carte blanche? There are power of attorneys that do that. There are power of attorneys that just limit you to one thing. But the point is, Jesus didn't limit it. He did not limit it. And what we've taught previously is, like, go to Philippians here for a second. Well, you know, before you go to Philippians, I looked in the Amplified Bible to look at John 16:24 again. And this is what it says in the Amplified. It says, up to this time you have asked, you have not asked a single thing in my name as present, but now ask and keep on asking, and you will receive, so that your joy, your gladness, your delight may be full and complete. You know, that is what he wants us to do. Philippians. You know, I want you to add this to your understanding of prayer. Okay? But the reason that you and I can ask is because he gave us the right to. In fact, he instructs them, this is what you need to do. See, from that, until that point, they'd never asked anything in his name. He was with them. See, if I got Charlie with me here in the room, I say, hey, Charlie, can you help me with this? I don't need a power of attorney to ask Charlie for his assistance. He's right here. And he either does it or he doesn't. But if I have the power of attorney to use Charlie's name, I go to someone else and I say, in the name of Charlie, I want this to happen. And the power, whatever is behind that name, whatever, you know, business needs to be, it happens because he signed his name to the document. Do you see, you follow me? Jesus has told us he has signed his name to prayer. We don't pray, Father, help me in the name of Jesus Christ, and don't think deeply about what you just said. If you just use the name of Jesus Christ as the ending of a prayer sentence, then you got no faith. You don't believe what, you don't take this seriously. You know, I mean, hit yourself in the head. Hey, wake up. You don't take it seriously. You don't just use the name of Jesus Christ as the ending of a prayer sentence. And the word amen, I've mentioned this before, it's the same thing. See, the reason I can say amen, so shall it be, is because I prayed in the name of Jesus Christ. And the church is powerless without this. You know, people walk around in a spiritual fog because they don't take literal what our Lord taught, and they don't believe that the word of God is the will of God. You know, I'm not, we do not direct our own lives if we're doing this right. If we really want to walk with our Father and do the will of our Lord and really um, participate in the ministry of reconciliation and doing the will of God here, reconciling mankind back to him, then I'm supposed to be spirit-led, right? God is working within me to will and to do of his good pleasure. I'm allowing, I'm desiring, I want to do it that way. I'm not doing what McCabe wants. I'm not doing what McCabe feels. I'm not doing what McCabe does anything, because I have chosen to serve as a bondservant, a slave for my Lord. I'm supposed to have a slave mentality. It's a very positive thing. You know, that's what I want. But then again, it's not about me. Most people's prayers are about them. Not bad. I mean, you know, I ask for my daily bread. I ask for the things that but most of my prayers are for others and for my Lord, my God. Not about me. So, again, keep these things in mind. Philippians, I told you to go to Philippians chapter 2. The reason that this name, no matter what you come up against, it will not fail when you use it. And this is because God says this, wherefore God, in verse 9, chapter 2, verse 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There is nothing in heaven, on earth, or under the earth. Three different realms. I mean, that everything is subject to him. Everything is subject to that name. Romans chapter 5. You know, our Lord is the one who died and gave us the right. Not only did he instruct us to do it, remember, he was teaching them what they are going to have to do when he's gone. In Romans chapter 5, but Jesus is the one who gave us, he paid for this with his blood. You know, as he who was without sin, right? He was innocent. His innocent blood gave us the right to be cleansed, to be innocent like he was, to be righteous like he was. He transferred that, just like it was the picture in the Old Testament with the animal. You put your hand on the animal, you identified with the animal. The animal died. The innocence of the animal came on you. Your sin went on the animal. The Lord took upon us our sin. Well, it's almost the same thing. Jesus had the right to talk to the Father, had the right to make the request that he did. And he always did the Father's will. And the Father answered every single prayer. Even the ones that he wasn't so crazy about doing, like turning the water into wine at the feast. He said to his mother, hey, come on, my time's not yet. But the Almighty did it anyhow. It's his son. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I have peace because of my Lord, because of what he did. I have justification because of what he did. I have access, verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith unto this grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in the glory of God. We got access to the Father. Remember, Jesus said to them, I'm not telling you that I pray the Father for you. How this works is you pray to the Father. You have access to the Father because he loves you because you love me. You have that access. You can come boldly before the throne of grace, it says in Hebrews. So it's not a ricochet prayer. This is what I was taught when I was a child. You know, you're not good enough to really go to Jesus, so you pray to some saint or some person, and then they go to Jesus because they're all... That's not what the Bible says. That's a whole bunch of baloney for sure. You have access. Why doesn't anybody want to just believe what Scripture says? You know, the 9-year-old has just as much access as the 30-year-old, the 40-year-old, the 100-year-old. The Father loves you. And I know that he loves me. But I also know that it's the Lord Jesus Christ that gave me the access, that gave me the justification, that gave me the righteousness, and that gave me the use of his name. He is the one that I pray in his name because I recognize who he is, what he has done. He is my Lord. Let's give him credit where credit belongs. Go to James here, chapter 4. Now, I know because this was me so many, many years ago. And I tell you what, when I learned this, I was very excited. And I was using this name and expecting great things. And I expect great things. You got to expect. First of all, you got to use it. Okay? There's no spirit that doesn't listen to this. They all sit up and take notice. The devil's afraid of it. The one thing that the adversary did not want the people in the first century to do and to talk about was the name of Jesus Christ. They didn't want to make known what he is, who he is, what he did. That's why I've been going through this little thing here. And like I said, maybe I'll continue with it because it's just way too important. But what does it practically mean to you and I? What does it mean that he did all of this? Well, it means that you have rights, privileges, responsibilities, power, not on your own, but on what he has done for you. But unless you exercise it, you're just a bump on the log. Yeah, you can use this name, ask God in the name of Jesus Christ to open up my eyes. Ask the Father for healing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there wasn't a whole lot of, when Jesus, the leper came up to the Lord. They said Jesus did it, right? It wasn't a whole lot of fluff. The leper came up and said, if you will, you can make me whole. Jesus says, I will. Be that whole. That was it. And the guy walked away. He walked away having it, and as he went, he was healed. It was either you believe this or you don't. You either take it for what it says or you don't. Okay, in James here, important little scripture. In chapter 4 and verse 2, it says, "You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not." You got ask. "You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts." That is one very important scripture right there. And when it comes to talking to the Father and getting your prayers answered, I don't get every prayer answered. Nobody does, in case you tried. All right. There are reasons for that. It's just like you don't give your child that's 5 or 6 the keys to the car. You know, there are wisdom things. There are things that are beyond my comprehension. There are other reasons that prayers aren't answered. But this is one, to tell you the truth. Because when you do it, and I'll read you this thing again in the Amplified in verse 3. It says, "Oh, you do not ask God for them, for yet fail to receive because you ask with wrong purpose and evil, selfish motives. Your intention is that when you get what you desire, to spend it in sensual pleasure." That is quite a translation for that verse, right? In other words, the pink Cadillac may not be, it's just a great picture, a pink Cadillac, right? So make that a song from the 60s, I think. But the pink Cadillac might not be anything more than a lust. Okay? Now, if it's necessary to move God's word, you can have it. But if it's just, you know, for you, your desire, this, that, and the other thing, I'm not the judge. I'm not going to, "Well, Reverend McCabe, do you think I should pray for this or that or the..." Ask your Father. Deal with your own heart. It's not my job. My job is to lead you to Him, not to tell you yes or no. No, it's the truth. So people don't ask. They don't ask. So guess what? Oh, I need more, right? So let me rob somebody else. Where'd that come from? Why didn't you didn't ask? You didn't even come to me and ask. Now you start a fight. Again, why are all these things done? Because of lust, because of over desires, because of sin, greed, all these different things. What is it that the child of God needs? God will supply. You know, He will supply. He's done it so many times. Anyhow, let's look at Acts chapter 3. I think you should deeply consider. I've asked the Father throughout my life. I've received great and wonderful things, prayers answered. I've known that the adversary is working in situations. He's working in these situations, and you really got sort of like God Almighty tells you that you're dealing with somebody with a spirit or you in the name of Jesus Christ, you can command, talk, whether it's out loud, under your breath, you choose, you go to the Father. It doesn't win. You're the one that's supposed to get the... When Paul went and he spoke the word and some other guy, a false prophet, got in the way, went blind. Well, maybe we'll read that record in a little bit. But I want you to see how they used the name in the first century. This is just a short month after the Lord, you know, was raised from the dead, after he taught them these teachings and what he said here. It's just a short month. And it says in chapter 3 of the book of Acts in verse 1, it says, now Peter and John, they went up together into the temple of the fourth hour, being, the temple at the hour of prayer being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. He asked alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked alms, a mercy deed. And Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John and took and looked on us. He said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. This is it. I don't have any money here, but this is what I got. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and he lifted him up. And his ankle bone, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength, and he leaped up and stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat at alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were all filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, I mean, he was hugging them and holding on to them. All the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered and said unto the people, you men of Israel, why marvel you at this? What's the big deal? For why look you so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we have made this man to walk? It's the God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. And you denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. And you killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And this, his name through faith in his name hath made this man strong. It's in his name through faith. It's not open sesame, the magic words. It's in, you use this name in faith. Now remember, well, I can't teach everything, so just get this point. Which is by him hath made this man perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Again, what is Peter magnifying to the people? He's got this perfect, nice moment, right? guys healed. Everybody's praising God. The guy heals, praising God. All the people are paying attention. You would think he would be really soft and nice and explain very easily. Hey, guys, you know, we were with Jesus and this and that. No, he slams these people. I mean, take a look at the word. He slams them. This is the most loving thing he could have done. So you can't know that you got to change unless somebody tells you what your sin is, or the scripture tells you what your sin is. They just killed the Messiah. And I just used his name, who God glorified, who God raised from the dead. I used his name, and this man is whole because of his name, who he is. Not by my power, not by my holiness. You follow? See, this is serious. Like I said, it's not the ending of a prayer. Acts 19. Verse 1, it says, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, he came to Ephesus, finding certain disciples. Apollos had been there. And he said unto them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be a Holy Spirit. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. See, John's baptism is really an Old Testament baptism. It's a cleansing, it's a ceremony, a cleansing of one's sins for repentance. But John said himself, and again, it's witnessed here in this record, there's a greater coming. Okay, John's baptism was then, but you're supposed to look for and believe on the Messiah, the Christ that's coming. In verse 5, it says, and when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They were immersed in his name. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spake in tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. Nice fellowship to start with, right? And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly by the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. 3 months he's then there, week after week, in the synagogue. This is where people go to learn a word, learn a scripture. And when divers were hardened, many of them were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way. Before the multitude, he departed from them, and he separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. Now, a lot of people were hardened in their heart. They didn't want to believe what he was teaching. So he separated out his guys, and they went to a school called Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years. So Paul's in Ephesus an awful long time, isn't he? Compared to other places. So that all they which dwelt in Asia, everyone in Asia Minor, heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And God wrought special miracles by the hand of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and diseases. These were special. These were not usual miracles. We got your normal, wonderful miracles, you know, your everyday miracles. But these were special, with handkerchiefs and aprons and stuff. Okay? I always thought that's a miracle is pretty special, huh? These were special, special ones. And departed from them. And, you know, so they'd get these apron, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out from them. So this is a great movement of the word. Paul's been doing this for 2 years. He's been teaching, right? He's been doing this. So now look at these unbelieving Jews that come up here. I love this record. It says, and there's certain vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which hath evil spirits the same, the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. I adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. Now, these are not believers. These are people who saw what was going on at Ephesus. They saw what was taught, and they decided to copy the technique rather than to believe the truth. And we just want to see this happen. And they were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, a chief of the priest, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. That's quite a guy. One guy takes on seven. But if you got a spirit, you can do it. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell upon them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. See, it was the name of the Lord Jesus. Again, not just Joshua. Joshua wasn't just magnified. The Lord. Context, the title with the name. His name was magnified. Who is the one who died for us? Who is the one who gave up his life? Who is the one that accomplished everything that we have? It's him, his name. His name is what we have to use. And when the unbelievers used it, that spirit had to sit up and take notice. But that spirit also knew, these people, you're nothing without spirit. You're nothing without faith. And I'm just going to beat the hell out of you. You dare to mess with me. Now, when devil spirits were flying out of people, when Paul was just doing this apron thing, the special miracles, they have to. What was it that these guys tried to copy? Using the name. What was Paul teaching his people? How to use the name. It's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, people are healed. Miracles are done. It's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that we pray and ask God for his mercy and ask God for his help. It's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that we praise him. When I write a letter to people, I say, God bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. That's a short prayer. It's not the phrase at the end of a prayer sentence. Please get that through your head forever. Look at what happened here. The name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Verse 18, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. And many of them also which used curious arts, you know, the black arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them, and they found that it was 50,000 pieces of silver. And so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. See, when a devil spirit kicks the heck out of the priest's children, the seven sons of Sceva, everybody heard about it in the neighborhood. The name of the Lord Jesus is magnified. They heard what they tried to do. These guys couldn't do it, but Paul can. The believers can. The people he uses, the ones with faith, can. And you know what? They started to give up all their black arts and get rid of all their porn and all the rest of the stuff that they had in their life. They just got rid of it all. Get rid of it. That's what the name did. Magnifying the name of Jesus Christ. You know, prophets in the Old Testament, one of the records, I just read it this week, I forget his name, Micah, I think it was. Was that one with Jehoshaphat where he and the other Ahab said, there's one prophet out there. I hate him because he never prophesies good about me. And then he came and Jehoshaphat said, well, we got 350 guys that just said, go up to battle and we'll do fine. But isn't there one more? So this guy calls him in. I think it's Micah is his name. I forget what his name is. But at any rate, he calls him in and he says, well, what do you got to say? And he says, oh, go ahead, King, go on up. Everything's going to be fine, whatever. And he says, don't lie to me. You know what he didn't say? The Lord said. He just said, oh, go ahead, enjoy yourself. See, there are people out there who believe that just if the preacher says something, that it must be good, right? Advice must be good. But it's only really, 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 really good if it's the Lord that says it. That's why a real prophet always says, the word of the Lord is. You identify who's speaking. We are given the name of Jesus Christ to use because of who he is, his power, what he's got in the bank, what he's got behind his name, not me. The word moved because of it. Things happened, great things. Maybe we'll talk more about it as time goes by, but not today. So that's what I wanted to share with you all. I'm very grateful and thankful. Join me in a word of prayer, please. Father, it's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that we come before you and we ask, my God, that you open our understanding, that you show us the truth of your word, that you bring it in our soul, in our heart, that we never take this for granted, Father, and we never get discouraged from speaking it, from doing it, and that we learn, Father, teach us to walk by the Spirit. Teach us, Father, to listen to your still small voice. Teach us, Father, to magnify the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in our walk and in our life. I praise you and love you, and I thank you for all your children, your people. Thank you for their love and for your surrounding them with your blessings. And I pray this, Father, in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.